You are Locked On Raptors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hey, how's it going? Welcome to episode number 404 of Locked On Raptors for, I guess this is Friday, October 26th. I'm your host, Sean Woodley of RaptorsHQ.com. You can find me on Twitter, as always, at WoodleySean. Find the show at Locked On Raptors. We can find links to every single episode. Of course, make sure you are checking out the Locked On Podcast Network. Team-focused shows for all 30 NBA teams. We got Locked On Fantasy with Josh Lloyd, Locked On NBA with David Locke, and a whole bunch of other hosts from across the network filling in daily shows over there. We've got Sam Amick as a weekly guest. We've got Ben Golliver as a weekly guest. He was on today, Thursday, because you're hearing this on Friday. I'm screwed up with the days already. But hey, this is going to be a recurring theme throughout the show, I'm sure. It's a great network. There's lots of stuff going on. It's, of course, the start of the NBA season, and like, you can't watch every single game. I know I can't. So if there's a team that maybe you haven't really seen or you want to sort of get the lowdown on what's going on with them, it's a great time to find a Locked On podcast for the teams that you're interested in. And if you like a host, if you like what they're doing, you want to support them, make sure you go to iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, subscribe, rate, and review. That is the holy triumvirate of things we hope you do for these very free podcasts. It's all we ask you to do, but it's very, very helpful if you take the small amount of time it requires to do that. And if you do that for Locked On Raptors, I will be forever in your debt. Let's get to today's show. Speaking of the Locked On Podcast Network, I'm joined by a fellow Locked On Podcast host, the host of Locked On Mavs, or one of the two co-hosts of Locked On Mavs, which is one of the most popular shows on the network because you guys actually do some work and you guys do creative live streaming and stuff. From Locked On Mavericks, it's EF Friday's opponent, the Dallas Mavericks. It's Nick Angstad. How's it going, man?
Hey, yes, we do that work, and for some reason we've had teams with terrible last 2 years, but we're doing pretty well on the network, and now we have Luka Doncic, and life is fun again, and basketball is interesting, and it's a good time to be a Mavericks fan.
Yeah, so let's start with Luka Doncic. That's the place to start. The Mavs are 2-2. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team this season. I think. You know, it's going to be hard in the West. The West is extremely good, and if you're relying on Luka Doncic to be your best player early on, like, you know, he's 19. Maybe he's amazing and can carry a team to the playoffs. That seems like an unfair thing to ask of him. But hey, he's an MVP of the EuroLeague, I guess, for a reason. So maybe that can be like a surprise 8 seed or something. But just in general, without regard for like what's going to happen with the postseason, how fun is Luka Doncic? He seems just like a freaking delight to watch every day.
Man, he really is. He does something different every single game that you don't really expect. I've been making some breakdown videos of him just because there's so much little things in his game that I appreciate. And so on my YouTube channel, it's Nick Van Exit. You can look there. I did this video called Luka Doncic 200 IQ plays, and it's kind of tongue in cheek because some of them are just smart plays, and some of them are, you know, smarter than others. Some of them are just difficult plays, but he just does things. Like he has an amazing floater game. He turns a corner from a screen and puts up a floater from like 15 feet. he can knock him down from there. His shot is a lot better than a lot of people said coming into the NBA. His passing is good. He makes great passes, and it's just fun to watch him play. He does a lot of things on a basketball court well, except run. Except run and jump.
There's something really artful to a guy who can be good and like gain separation without being athletically. I don't want to say he's not athletic because he's an NBA player and he was the EuroLeague MVP, so he's not unathletic, but maybe just like less traditionally athletic. It's not so much like twitchy, jumpy, out of the gym stuff. It's more like craft, and it kind of reminds me of DeMar DeRozan almost, because DeMar was never like the fastest dude in the world, but like he could always gain separation, he could always find a shot somehow, and a lot of it's just like old man pump fakes and stuff, but that shit works, man. It's great. I love it. And I'm super stoked to watch Luka Doncic on Friday. Are you like, what were your expectations for him coming in? Like when the trade happened on draft night, you give up the next year's first round pick, it's mostly protected, but it could end up being a pretty good pick if the Mavs are sort of a certain level of bad this season. But I don't know, like when the trade happened, what was your reaction to that? And then sort of how did your expectations for him evolve over the summer? And then, you know, through four games, how has he lived up to them?
Yeah, so this summer, the trade was interesting. We were, we were at the draft in Dallas, and they do a draft thing every year where they bring all the writers and all the media people in. We go to the American Airlines Center, and we, you know, sit and we wait for them to make the pick, and then before the draft, you know, Donnie Nelson, GM of the Mavericks, will come out. Rick Carlisle will come out. Michael Finley, the assistant GM, one of the assistant GMs will come out and talk and ask questions and answer questions and things from the media. Then they'll go to the war room, which is like upstairs, and they'll talk it over. And so after they left at the beginning, someone had asked, you know, do you think that we're going to, you know, make a trade? Is there trades? There's been all these rumors about, you know, wanting to move up to get Doncic and all these things. And Donnie Nelson looked at us straight face and he said, it looks like we're going to be staying where we are right now at number five. And so we're like, okay, well, dang, that's disappointing. You know, we're not going to get Doncic. Will we find it's Bamba or Jaren Jackson, whoever we end up with. And so then they go upstairs, and a minute later, there's a notification from Woj and Mark Stein. The Mavericks have traded the pick with the Hawks and blah, blah, blah. The Mavericks will take Trae Young or whatever, however it worked out. And so we were all happy and ecstatic, obviously. And so then you have Luka Doncic on your team. And so then you have guys kind of an unknown, but he's known at the same time, but also unknown because there's so many different factors. And so this summer, I went from all different ranges of outcomes. I was like, at some points, I was thinking, man, this guy could be, like, could he actually be a bust? Like, what scenario, in what world could this guy actually be a bust? Like, what if his jumper doesn't translate right away? And what if he just can't keep up and the speed is just a big deal? And, you know, like, he's going to be going against NBA defenders all the time. Like, the difference between going against, you know, like a EuroLeague defender and then, like, Kawhi Leonard, which he's going to play tonight, you know, big difference. And yeah. So, like, imagine, you know, what that is. And then at some points I was like, man, it's not going to matter at all. Like, best case scenario, he could be an all-star his rookie year. You know, you go with these different outcomes. And you just talk yourself into him and talk yourself in a circle as we do podcasts all summer. But right now, I think he's just going to be a solid player. He's, like, all the things that I said at the top of the show, he just does really well. And that makes a good basketball player. Like you said, he's crafty and he's able to get to a spot. If he wants to get to a spot in a floor, he can, because he does these behind-the-back dribbles and between the legs, and he can, you know, do all these different things to get to a spot on the basketball court. And he's just so smart when it comes to, you know, that kind of stuff. And also, he's one rookie that I am not nervous about the adjustment to the NBA at all, because he's adjusted to so many different things. We're seeing this trend in the NBA where, and in other sports too, like in football and baseball and things, where if your parent, like if your dad or mom was a professional, you know, athlete in a sport where, like Donovan Mitchell or you know, Klay Thompson, where you have these guys that, or even Steph Curry, they've been in locker rooms, they've been around the NBA, they've been around, you know, professional teams for so long that they just come in and they know what's up. You know, they come in and they're able to adjust and they're able to get hit the ground running pretty much. And Luka's dad is a professional overseas. And Luka's been a professional since he was a baby. You know, he's 13 years old when he started with Real Madrid. So I wasn't worried about him, you know, adjusting at all coming into the NBA. So I expect him to be just, you know, a solid rotation player at this point. He's going to have flashes. Like, he had a quarter against the Timberwolves where he just went off and scored like 13 points in like 3 minutes. You know, he's going to have some flashes like that, but then we're seeing him kind of tail off in second halves where he's just not able to either assert himself into the offense, or maybe it's conditioning. Carlisle's been playing in big stretches of minutes. Like, he'll play from the beginning of the third quarter into the fourth quarter. You know, like, he'll play this huge stretch of time where it looks like Carlisle's just trying to play him into shape. And he did come in a little out of shape. That stuff's been overblown a little bit because he has what we in the business call round face syndrome. He just has like a round face, and so it does look like he's a little overweight than he really is.
Buddy, I can relate.
And of all people, Mark Jackson was making fun of like his weight. It's like, I wish his conditioning was, you know, a little bit more. And I was like, of anybody that has round face syndrome,
wasn't your career just like being the fat point guard? Like, wasn't that just what you were?
I know. Exactly. So that's where I'm at with Luka. I mean, I'm interested to see in this game, actually, tonight against the Raptors will be the first game that Harrison Barnes is back and playing. Hopefully. We actually haven't heard 100% that he's going to play, but that's been the plan for the last couple of days. What? And so to see him try and figure out how to play with Harrison Barnes is going to be interesting too.
Yeah, so I guess it's kind of a different question, because if Harrison Barnes is back tomorrow, that kind of changes the complexion of what the Mavs might be. Or maybe he just like subs in for Dorian Finney-Smith, who started all four games so far, and like he's just a better version of that. So like, what can people expect to see from the Mavs in terms of how they're going to play, and like, how does Doncic get used in relation to all the other guys he's playing with? Because like, Wes Matthews has a little bit of like off the bounce game, and Dennis Smith Jr. is like a point guard. It
don't
seems.
Don't say that against Mavs. Don't say that to Mavs fans. He totally just lost the Mavs the game the other night against the Hawks. Wes Matthews did, because he was trying to do these off the bounce stuff, and Mavs fans are very upset at Wes Matthews right now. I get your point though. Yeah. There's a lot of different parts, and there's a lot of different elements of the Mavericks right now. You're trying, like, how are we going to fit all these little pieces together? And right now, Dennis and Luka are they're doing this, you know, your turn, my turn kind of offense, where it's a lot like, and these players aren't to this level, but like the Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant, you know, relationship when they first got in the NBA, they're kind of friends off the court, and you can tell they're being friendly, but on the court, there's just this, they're very different. So trying to figure out how to mesh those two games is just going to be interesting. And then you got Harrison Barnes into this. And Harrison Barnes he's had this really weird arc as a player, where he was this role player with Golden State, and he, you know, just did his role. One time, I think Mark Jackson tried to bring him off the bench as like a sixth man. And so then he was doing this ISO thing, and it didn't work out very well for him. So they put him back into this team role. And with the starting lineup, Andre Iguodala is coming off the bench, and totally worked. They won a title, and then he comes over to the Mavericks and he plays this ISO game, and he's like really efficient at it and really good at it. Mm-hmm. It was really weird. We were like, wait, why? You know, it surprised pretty much all of us. And so now the last 2 years, he's been this guy that bails the Mavericks out of all these possessions, and he'll just take it around the elbow, and he'll do these isolation plays, drive the basket, do these turnaround shots, and now the Mavericks are trying to play this, you know, move the ball around offense and try to get everybody involved, and we're not sure how he's going to fit into that. So this game could be a lot of, okay, Dennis's turn, Luka's turn, Harrison's turn. You know, it could be a lot of just whoever's possession it is at any given time. But that's what we're looking for tonight.
It's kind of a weird situation for like a team that is essentially rebuilding. They're probably a little bit ahead of the curve, and also they're like signing old dudes like DeAndre Jordan, so they're not like a traditional rebuild. But most teams that are kind of projected to not make the playoffs, they would kill to have three dudes who can like kind of run the offense on a given possession. Like, they usually are just like, all right, I guess De'Aaron Fox is the guy now. So
yeah, I guess,
and
I,
that's mean. I like De'Aaron Fox. I shouldn't be mean to him. He's awesome. But like, it seems like a good problem to have like too many guys who are capable with the ball in their hands. Although Dennis Smith, I'm so fascinated by him, because like, it kind of feels like the Doncic thing, it almost feels like it kind of runs counter to what they were trying to do when they drafted Dennis Smith. And like, I guess you just take the best player available, and if you're super duper in love with Doncic, then you just take him. But like, you mentioned that it's kind of a back and forth Westbrook Durant type thing. Like, what's the future going to hold for Dennis Smith? Like, does drafting Doncic alter how you view his place within the long-term plans of the Mavs?
I didn't really think so to begin with, and this is just during the draft. But then when they drafted Jalen Brunson, it made me think.
Yeah.
And maybe they just drafted Jalen Brunson in the second round because it was a good steal. You know, it was a good pick at the time. But to bring in another point guard like that, a guy that can play off the ball, that can, you know, do some other things. And these first couple games, we've seen the Mavericks defense struggle so mightily, like really bad, with Luka and Dennis both on the floor. Luka just can't stay in front of some, you know, faster wings. If any kind of pick, you know, comes his way and he gets screened at all, he can't fight over the screen fast enough to get to his guy. And so to have a team where Dennis and Luka are the two main things, it's to be seen. And the Mavericks are still committed to both players, but I think this season is going to be a lot of let's see how this plays out, see how Dennis fits with Luka, because if the Mavericks are given a choice of one or the other, they're going to choose Luka every time. Mm-hmm. And they definitely should. And who knows what that's going to mean for Dennis. Mavs fans, that they're starting to be a divide between these Dennis Smith Jr. stands that are like, Dennis Smith Jr. can do no wrong. And if Isaac and I on the podcast, we criticize him at all. They're like, why do you hate Dennis Smith Jr. so much? and then there's the other fans that are saying, like, we should trade him, like, right now. We should try to trade him for Jimmy Butler, do whatever we can, you know, to get value out of him. And his game is, you know, his game is just interesting. They're very hustle and flow, like, you know, where Dennis Smith Jr. is this straight north and south runner, and he gets to the basket, he gets to the rim, and Luka Doncic is like this flowy kind of, you know, gets to his spot, does these floaters, step back threes, you know, a lot of just different things like that. So the relationship between them is going to be, it's going to be interesting, but it's going to be hard to figure out, and Carlisle's got his work cut out for him with that, I think.
You mentioned that Doncic has issues getting over screens. Not going to be easy against Serge Ibaka, who is the king of the illegal screen. he's going to get a crash course in illegal screens by Serge tomorrow. It's insane. It's gotten to the point where even like the Raptors, like his teammates, are like, man, going up against Serge's illegal ass screens in practice is terrible. So we'll see how that works out.
That's funny.
Although I don't think it's really going to be a Serge game tomorrow, because DeAndre Jordan plays for the Mavs now, and Jonas Valanciunas' favorite food is DeAndre Jordan. He absolutely destroys him every single time they play. So
I was going to ask you, so yeah. There's been these four starters for the Raptors the first couple games.
Yeah.
Siakam started four of the five, but are they just rotating in it, whichever matchup is the best for that last starter spot? Or
yeah, pretty much.
What's their plan for that?
Yeah, it's. I think Nick Nurse, and I think it's a good thing, and I think it's kind of a nice deviation from what Dwayne Casey brought. And shouts to Dwayne Casey, by the way. He's 4-0 with the Pistons. That's cool. I'm very proud of Dwayne. The Raptors have the two best coaches in the league on their same bench. It's pretty wild. Anyway, I think Nick Nurse is doing a smart thing and not getting married to a starting five. Yes, there are the concerns about, you know, continuity and guys not knowing their roles, but if he establishes, like, hey, your role is going to be kind of in flux every night and it's going to depend on the matchup, then I think you can get by. And Serge Ibaka has looked fantastic as a center. He's not a power forward anymore, so like finding ways to pull him at center is effective and good. And he's been really good as like the role man for Kyle Lowry to work with. He's been really good in the dunker spot, and he's kind of become more, you know, paint focused as opposed to like just picking and popping for, you know, 18 footers all the time. And it's been really good. And he's shown a lot of energy. He's offensive rebounding. It's great. So I think it makes a lot of sense to go matchup based, and like, I think Zach Lowe mentioned this on his podcast this week. Like, it's kind of a bit of a market inefficiency in that so many teams are like, all right, we're tied to having this five-man starting unit for every single game, and then we sort of adjust on the fly if the matchup isn't going great. Like, why not make the matchup great from the start? And if the Raptors, who have a whole bunch of different versatile bigs and wings who can play at the four, like, if you have those options, then why the hell not use them and try to get a jump on teams that maybe are not prepared to handle whatever matchup you're going to throw at them. So I totally like it. I think it has kind of quelled any concerns people had about, like, Nick Nurse being just the same as Dwayne Casey just because he was the coach on his bench. Like, this is the exact opposite that Dwayne Casey used to do. Dwayne Casey started Luis Scola for an entire season just because he didn't want to shake up the bench unit. And, like, it worked. They won a bunch of games that year, but also it didn't make any sense because the starters were, like, a -7. So I like that Nick Nurse is kind of shaking things up. And I think by the end of the year, it'll kind of stabilize. There'll be, like, two go-to starting fives. I think by the end of the year, we'll see OG Anunoby back playing at the four, and Siakam will be coming off the bench just because his creation's kind of a little bit more useful on the bench, where there's a little bit of, you know, a little stickiness when it comes to the offense. So I think it will kind of they'll sort out what their best starting fives are. It'll be one or two, I'm sure. But I like it early in the season, and it seems to be working, so I don't have a problem with it. But I absolutely think it'll be Jonas tomorrow starting at center next to DeAndre Jordan. And how is DeAndre faring so far? 32 minutes a game. He's at, you know, very DeAndre Jordan numbers, you know, 15.5, 13.5. But you mentioned the defense has been bad, and yes, the perimeter defense isn't great, but is DeAndre Jordan still capable of, like, being the anchor of a good defense, or is he kind of past that?
Yeah, that's been a big question for us. The wings have been so bad defensively, and even Wes Matthews, who's usually a good defender. You look at the first four games. You look at the guys that Wes Matthews has been guarding, and it's like Devin Booker, who went totally off and scored like 35 points. was Derrick Rose, who he was guarding for a lot of the second game. He went off for like 30 points. It was a vintage Derrick Rose performance for the first time in forever. And then against the Bulls, it was Zach LaVine who went off for like 35 points. And then against the Hawks, Ken Bazemore, out of nowhere, who everybody thought was like going to be a salary dump this summer, who the Mavericks were even linked to in the Luka Doncic trade. There was Mark Stein tweeted that the Mavericks, there was a holdup in that trade. The Mavericks didn't want to swap in the trade Wes Matthews for Kent Bazemore. They didn't want to pay the extra $19 million. In Ken Bazemore's contract that was going to come, not this year, but next year. And so the Mavericks didn't want to do that. So they could have kept their pick, got Kent Bazemore, and got rid of Wes Matthews, which a lot of Mavs fans are very mad at right now at this very moment. But the wing defense has been awful. The Mavericks, I think, are one of the first or second team in allowed three-point percentage so far this season. They just allowed an insane amount of wide-open threes, so... Danny Green, Kawhi Leonard, all of you guys, good luck with your open threes on Friday. But DeAndre Jordan in the paint, he's been good. He can't get pulled out of the paint at all by pretty much anybody. So if there's any kind of switch, if there's any kind of him getting pulled out of the paint, then all of a sudden it's just completely exposed. And the Mavericks were playing essentially, three wings and then a point guard. With Dorian Finney-Smith, Wes, Luka, and then Dennis, mostly as that group. So, and then they just haven't played long enough together to know when to switch, when to come over and help, and when to drop, and things like that. They just haven't worked out the communication enough,
right,
to try and figure it out. So it's too early to tell, I think, on the defensive end. But still, he's still a good shot blocker. He had 5 blocks in the game for the first time in like 2 years the other night. And on offense, it's been amazing. he's fit so well on offense. The Mavericks almost use him as a security blanket. We've been talking about it like it's a tight end in football that's like over the middle. And if you go through all your reads, and if nothing's there, then you just dump it off to the tight end, and he's right there. He's and he can get you the yards that you need. And DeAndre Jordan is just that. And Luka has been working with him super well. Dennis has been working with him super well. And then he's become like this leader on the team with Dirk out. Dirk has still been on the bench, and he's traveled with the team and things like that. So he's there. But you need somebody on the floor. You need somebody to grab Wes Matthews and to stop him from yelling and doing these things. And you need somebody to calm Dennis down when he's kind of flailing and on offense and getting upset at himself. And DeAndre's been that guy. He's been the guy that pulls somebody, pull somebody aside and like start talking to them. There was this really, I think somebody made this a GIF, but there's this really funny play where Wes Matthews was getting mad and he was upset, and DeAndre pulled him over and they were like talking, and it almost looked like that GIF where Draymond Green is pep talking Kevin Durant, where he's like talking to him like that, and then Wes Matthews just like out of nowhere puts his arms straight out to his size, like a T pose, and then they both just like hug in the middle of the court, and they hold the hug for just a little too long, and then they let go and they go do their own thing. But he's just been that, like, that stabilizing force both on the defensive end and on offense. So he's been amazing, and Mavs fans are just loving him right now, and there's no ill will from the 2015 emoji gate, none at all. The Mavericks fans don't care. So.
I can't imagine DeAndre Jordan had any interactions with Chris Paul where A, he was the one yelling at Chris Paul to stop yelling and having success, and B, it ended in a hug. That doesn't seem likely to me. Man, Mavs fans really seem to have issues with Wes Matthews, huh? He's cool. He's a second rounder. He had a bad injury. I like Wes Matthews. Stop being mean to Wes Matthews.
I know. Well, the thing is that Wes is the last 3 years, the Mavericks have lacked playmakers.
Yeah.
And Wes has tried to fill that void, and he's been doing it by these dribble drives. And Kirk Henderson from Mavs Moneyball, he's a Kirk Serious Face on Twitter. He tweets out this GIF every single game, which is from The Office, where Stanley Hudson is dribbling a basketball and he's got one hand behind him, like straight out, and he's dribbling with just one hand, like straight in front of him, looking at the ball. And it's because of Wes Matthews. His drives are so bad. He drives in the paint. He doesn't have any idea what he's doing. He just drives in and doesn't really have a plan. Sometimes he finishes, and most of the time it turns into a turnover. And so that's where I think the upset Mavs fans come from, is this, Wes Matthews is trying to become this playmaker. He's trying to become this, guy. He does things off the dribble. And he just shouldn't do that. And then the end of the Hawks game on ESPN, I'm sure a lot of people saw it. The Mavericks had this 26-point lead. They give it up, and then in the fourth quarter, they were so close. They're within 2 points, and Wes Matthews decided, all right, it's my turn to take over. And so he drives in the paint, turnover. He drives and throws a pass, and it goes out of bounds. And then he takes these crazy, like, turn the corner threes with the ball in his hand, and tries to hit him and completely airballs it to the left side. And it's just been frustrating, his shot selection mostly. And then now the question that we're asking now is he still good defensively? He has good stretches, but after four guys score 30 on him, you're kind of wondering, where is he? So
that's where
it comes from.
I'm laughing because there was a time the summer actually that the Mavs signed Wes Matthews. There was a rumor, like an hour after the Raptors signed Damari Carroll, that they were also going after Wes Matthews, and I was pretty excited by that. I was like, "Oh hell, they're going to embrace small ball. It's going to be really cool." But the way you're describing Wes Matthews is the exact thing that happened with Damari Carroll, where his drives would just end with bricks off the back iron.
Yes.
And also he was hurt a whole bunch and was also very bad at defense. And so bullet dodge there, I guess. Raptors still love Wes Matthews,
I think
though.
I think he would have been better if he had a good point guard next to him. Like, he was in Portland and he had Damian Lillard there. He had a defined role. He had two guys where he could be like, all right, I'm going to take the backseat to these two guys, and at least there are playmakers. Where in Dallas, he hasn't had that. He's had – his best point guard has been J.J. Barea, who's mostly played off the bench and not played with him. Darren Williams was his point guard 1 year, and then Dennis Smith Jr., the rookie, last year. So, he just tries to assert himself where there wasn't a playmaker, and it just isn't working. So I think if he had like a Kyle Lowry type, where that was a veteran point guard that's been an all-star that he could respect, I feel like that would have worked out. But yeah. Anyway, this is where we are.
I'm guessing Wes is going to guard Kawhi tomorrow. Is that sort of has he been taking the big responsibilities on defense like that, or are they going to throw Harrison Barnes right to the fire?
Man, that's a good question. It'll probably be Harrison Barnes. Unless they do something weird and they start Dorian Finney-Smith. He's been a really good defender for the Mavericks. So I doubt he's probably not gonna start if Harrison Barnes does get the start. And so I'm gonna guess Harrison starts on Kawhi Leonard. Or it's Luka Doncic and he just throws Luka straight to the fire. The Mavericks did have this. They're supposed to have a practice on Thursday, and they decided to cancel the practice and just do a very long film session.
Huh.
And Luka got beat a whole bunch in the Hawks game. So I wonder if Carlisle just looks at this footage and is like, Luka, we're going to put you on somebody where you're going to learn to try to fight over screens, because if you don't, Kawhi Leonard's just going to kill you every time. So I don't know. That'd be interesting to see. I doubt that's going to happen. But
Kawhi just put 35 on Jimmy Butler's head. So
I
worry for the health of Luka if that's the case. But it'd be fun from my perspective.
He lets everything fall off, though. He brushes everything off, and he does not care at all. I mean, look at his beard. I was watching the game and the other night, and I was like, man, look at his beard. He does not care what anyone thinks of him. Hopefully he'll shave before the game, but he has like this neck beard going that, I don't know. To me, it just says that he does not care, and that's good for a basketball player, I think.
As a once-a-week shave type of guy, I respect it. Fully on board. I've taken too much of your time, but I have a couple more for you. Number one, how's our lovely Canadian son Dwight Powell doing? It seems like a very strange relationship between Mavs fans and Dwight Powell, because all of the like metrics seem to suggest he's very good. Like this season, he's averaging 14-5 in 15.8 minutes played and is shooting the lights out. And he like just seems, when he's on the court, like it always seems to be like a positive thing. But whenever I don't follow like a million people from Mavs Twitter, but like it really seems like Mavs Twitter just has it out for Dwight Powell, and I'm just wondering why the hell that is.
It's a good question. Dwight Powell also has this interesting relationship with Mavs fans, where he came in and he was traded in the Rondo trade, so that already kind of taints the whole Dwight Powell experience. He's this athletic, springy guy that's pretty good at switching on defense, and he's an awesome rim runner, like a really, really good elite-level rim runner. But the Mavericks, the first couple of years, they were like, man, it would be cool if you could shoot threes. So he tries to shoot threes, and he just missed a whole bunch of them. And the Mavericks fans were like, why is this guy being so bad? And then when he was rim running, he couldn't catch. I mean, when I tell you he couldn't catch a ball, like, he dropped so many alley-oops my first year covering the league. It was 2016-17, so not last year, but the year before.
Mm-hmm.
And he just could not catch an alley-oop. Like, he would jump up, J.J. Brewer would throw it to him, and he would just completely miss it. And so there's just these things that were obvious deficiencies in his game where Mavs fans saw it and were like, man, this guy's terrible. And he was really, really bad for a little bit. And the Mavericks gave him this extension where he's making, you know, $8, $9, $10 million this year a year. And no one understood why. Like, we didn't understand, where is this coming from? Where do they see this Dwight Powell growth? Where do they see, you know, that he's worth this amount of money? And it was the summer of 2016, and everyone was drunk with power and cash, and they're throwing money around everywhere. But so Dwight Powell gets this extension. And then all of a sudden last year, the beginning of the season starts, he's doing the same thing again. He's shooting a bunch of threes. He's hitting more of them, but he's still taking all these threes. And we're like, man, he's away from the basket. He's just not doing, you know, the things that you want him to do. And then Carlisle made this shift where he took Dirk, and he started Dirk at the beginning of the game because Carlisle used to say that Dirk will never come off the bench if he's for the Mavericks, and now that's changing. Mm-hmm. And so he starts Dirk, he starts for the first 4 minutes, then he brings him off the bench, and he played this bench unit of Dirk, Dwight Powell. At the time, it was Yogi Ferrell, Devin Harris, and J.J. Barea. This lineup makes absolutely no sense unless Rick Carlisle is running the show. And Dwight Powell was amazing, like absolutely amazing in this role. All he had to do was rim run, get rebounds, defend, you know, the other players, whoever their bench, you know, big was, which was usually like a Greg Monroe type, you know, or somebody like that. And he was just amazing at his role. He didn't have to step out and shoot threes. He didn't have to try to do more than, you know, what he was asked. And he was rim running. He had three playmakers on the floor at all times. And he's this 3-point guard lineup that was just the weirdest thing. But it worked super well. It was one of the most efficient lineups in all of basketball last year. And now he's playing this backup role with, again, next to Maxi Kleber, who you talked about earlier. And they're amazing together. they are, like, throwing lobs to each other. They are, you know, they double-blocked somebody yesterday in the Hawks game.
Hell yeah.
Together. They complement each other so well. Maxi, you know, better outside shooter, better rim protector. Dwight Powell is better defending, you know, out on the perimeter, and you're better switching, better rim runner. And so their games just complement each other so well. And so now I feel like Mavs fans are, and Mavs Twitter, I think, is they're back with Dwight Powell. They're back in on him. It's still maybe not worth the money, but he's been a very effective bench player. And I think they're okay with him now.
Well, that's good to hear, because he's one of the most effective guys on the Canadian national team when he does play. You know, he doesn't, like, ask for money like Andrew Wiggins did, apparently, according to a report.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Does the Canadian national team, like, I don't know, Steve Nash, I know, was working with them and working getting players, but whoever runs the Canadian National League, like, team, do they look at Andrew Wiggins and when he says, I should be paid for my play, they're like, all right, should we pay you market value? Should we pay you what we think you're worth? Your game is worth?
I mean, the dude on the team, was like the best player on the team when they lost to Venezuela in the FIBA Americas, and they lost their Olympic bid because of it. I see, like, for the longest time, I was like an unabashed Andrew Wiggins stan because, like, he's all we had. But now, there's just there's just so many good Canadian players, and like Jamal Murray's awesome, and RJ Barrett's probably gonna go number one. So it's like, all right, Wiggins, like, hope things work out for you, dude. But I'm not gonna, like, attach my hopes and dreams of international success to you anymore. They'll probably be just fine with, like, Corey Joseph playing your minutes anyway. So it's kind of a bummer, but you know what? Whatever. The Canada has cool ass players now. Like, Kelly Olynyk is, like, suddenly, like, a really cool player, and he's a monster internationally too. So Don't even.
Why did we think we would ever say that Kelly Olynyk was a cool player?
One more for you, very quickly, before we get in trouble for this being too long. Give me.
By the way, the Locked On Fantasy podcast is consistently over an hour long every single day, and no one ever says anything about it. So Isaac and I have honestly we stopped caring about time, and we find that our listeners like longer podcasts because a lot of them listen to it at work or they listen to it on their way to work. And
people's days are terrible, man. You got to fill those days, man.
Yes.
Everything, you've seen what's going on in the world, things are bad. Longer podcasts are very helpful.
I feel like it's better over in Canada. You guys just legalized marijuana, didn't you?
We sure did. It has changed absolutely nothing because guess what? People smoked weed before.
Wow. Admitted on the podcast.
Yeah, it has not changed a damn thing. And also, the mail is on is on strike right now, so people aren't even get, because you can only order it online in Ontario. You can go to stores, I think, in other provinces, but Ontario is run by like an idiot Trump runoff moron dude who sucks. And yeah, it's of course our province runs terribly because of that. So yeah, people haven't even gotten their weed yet, and it got illegalized like I don't know a week ago. So yeah. That's where we're at with that. This has been Weed Talk on Locked On Raptors.
Yeah, I was gonna say I didn't expect to get a politics.
Yeah, we haven't gotten in. Yeah, we'll do a Locked On Doug Ford special at some point, I'm sure. last one for you. This happened last year a couple times. The Mavs beat the Raptors both times they played last season, and I believe they were the only Western Conference team to do that. I think maybe the Thunder, but other than that. I guess the Warriors. The Warriors beat them twice, too. But the Raptors, like, were really good against the West and didn't get swept by many teams at all last year. But it was always these random-ass Mavs that went off and, like, completely changed games. Who was the most likely of, let's throw out four names, Maxi Kleber, J.J. Barea, Jalen Brunson, and Ryan Brokoff, who is apparently a person. Who was the most likely to, I guess we could throw Ray Spalding in here, too, who's played 1 minute. That's exactly the kind of guy who would drop 15 on the Raptors' heads tomorrow or tonight. Who is the most likely of these guys to go off and score 25?
Oh, man. Well, let's go through them from least to worst. Least to most likely, I guess. So Ray Spalding has played 1 minute. He only literally plays in garbage time. So if he does score 15 points, that means the Mavericks have either been destroyed by the Raptors or they are destroying the Raptors.
He is a perfect name, by the way. I love his name.
Isn't it great? Ray Spalding.
So good.
We make all the Spalding basketball jokes.
Well, that's, Spalding, superior to Wilson, of course. DJ Wilson is the one we're talking about, of course.
The next one would probably be Ryan Brokoff. He gets to play, he's allowed to play 4 minutes, and there's split between the first and second quarter. It's been the weirdest thing. He'll play 1 minute in the first quarter and then come back and play 3 minutes in the second quarter.
That seems like a hard way to establish rhythm.
Yeah, so and especially for a player that's as good of a shooter. I mean, he shot 50% from three last year overseas.
Right.
And so he's just a great three-point shooter. But so he could get hot, I guess, and Carlisle could ride the hot hand for the 4 minutes that he's out there. Then who's the next one? Maxi?
Yeah, sure.
Maxi probably the next one. Maxi he has brought out this part in his game, and hopefully we get to see it on Friday and make me look really smart. Where he's been a better driver than like we've seen before. Where he does these moves, he did a couple moves in preseason where he'll drive in the paint and dump off to another center, to Dwight or to Salah Mejri. He'll kick out to a shooter, or people are starting to respect his 3-point shot where he. Not as much last year. Shot like 31% last year from three. But that's what he came into the NBA as the idea of a stretch four.
Mm-hmm.
And so as people try to close out on him more, he's driving past him and doing these little moves. So we can see a nice Maxi game. But J.J. Barea is probably the most likely.
Of course he is.
J.J. Barea just does his thing. He's amazing. Like, we like to joke that Luka Doncic is a 6'8". J.J. Barea, because he does all the things that Luka does. He's just in a smaller package. He does these floaters. He can get to any spot on the floor. He can hit shots. You know, he makes great passes. He just is 5'9".
Yeah.
So that'd be the most likely. That'd be my guess.
So Maxi, on Boxing Day last year against the Raptors, the first game, I believe, between the two teams. He had 15 points, 8 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 5 blocks in 25 minutes. And I believe, what's the correct pronunciation of his last name?
Kleba.
Okay, so Matt Devlin was right. Matt Devlin was really on the Maxi Kleba, and I thought it was like an unnecessary overpronunciation. But also, JJ Barea, 2 of his 9 best scoring games last year came against the Raptors. So that's probably going to happen again. He is 9 of 18. On Boxing Day for 20 points. And then that March 16th game, you had 18 points in 18 minutes. So, yeah, that's going to happen for sure. Nick, man, I think that's a good place to leave this. This was great talking to you, man. The Mavs are interesting, and that's cool. And you guys do an excellent job covering the Mavs and getting into all the nitty-gritty. So where can people find you and Locked On Mavs?
Yeah, you can find us. I'm on Twitter, at Nick Van Exit.
Very, very good Twitter handle, by the way.
Thank you. An homage to Nick Van Exel, who I have never tweeted at, but he has blocked me for some reason. So he apparently searched his own name and saw that, thought I was making fun of him, and blocked me, I guess. He is also, I think, in charge of personnel for the Mavericks G League team, the Texas Legends.
Okay. So you got to confront him. You got to figure that out. You got to bury the hatchet with him.
I know. Somehow, if I meet him in person, I'll bring it up, and it'll be, you're not supposed to talk about Twitter stuff, in real person, but maybe I will.
You could have also made your, if it doesn't work out, you could always just be Nick Van Horn as well.
Ooh, I don't know if that one works as well. The whole idea is that it's a pun.
But. I know, but, whatever. The Van part, just the first guy that came in my head, okay?
And you can follow the show at Locked On Mavs, and you can subscribe to it anywhere. And you can follow me on YouTube as well, Nick Van Exit, and you can get our live stream shows, my Luka breakdowns, all that kind of stuff. So thanks so much for having me on the show, man.
Yeah, of course, man. Everyone, you can find this show, Locked On Raptors, same places, iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, all the places you find podcasts, some places I probably don't even know about. You can also find me on Twitter at Woodley Sean. You can find my Patreon page. Patreon.com/SeanWoodleyRaptors. I have some premium podcasts up there right now, including this week's episode about Mike James in the 2005-06 season. So if that's your bag, please give me your bag, I suppose. And
Mike James, former Mavericks great.
Of course, he played for every team, so of course he's a former Mavericks great. As we covered extensively on this week's podcast with myself and Joe Wolfon from The Score. So please give that a little subscription if you feel like you want to support my work, and I very much appreciate it if you do that. If not, you don't want to do that, you don't have the means, that's okay. Just leave a rating or a review on the iTunes page. It's very, very helpful and nice and good for the ego. I'm going to be back again probably Saturday morning, I would guess, doing a recap of the Mavs game. It's a busy weekend and stuff, so exactly when we are back, I'm not entirely sure. But there will be another podcast over the weekend at some point. So stay tuned for that, and we will talk to you next time on Locked On Raptors.